I'm Ann Eller. How are you doing, Congressman Joe Wilson?
Well, Ann, it's so great to be with you. And again, I appreciate your extraordinary efforts to raise issues that are important to the people of South Carolina and even your neighbors in Georgia.
Thank you very much, Congressman. I know, are you home this week enjoying the district?
I am really enjoying the district. This is a big weekend. Last Friday, the Democrats were unsuccessful in court. They lost. And so we now know precisely the congressional district that we have in South Carolina. The great news is South Carolina gains a U.S. House seat. The new seat will be Myrtle Beach to Florence, and then that shifts all the districts around. And so I'm very grateful that, for me, I did not want to lose Beaufort, Hilton Head, Parris Island, but I will be shifting 250,000 people from that part of the district I represent, and then I pick up 130,000 people in Aiken County. I will represent all of Aiken County, and I've been working with Congressman Jeff Duncan for a transition. He has superbly represented the people of Aiken. Now his district, which includes, of course, Greenwood, will be from Edgefield to southern Greenville County. So it's been a great week to get around the new district.
Absolutely. And so you've been, already working on transitioning people from one district to the other.
We are, and Jeff and I, of course, have a legal duty to represent the districts that we ran in last time through January 2013. So very likely people might see both of us at an event. In fact, on Sunday, I was at Hilton Head Island for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Nearly 40,000 people were there, and I was in a car, a convertible with Congressman Tim Scott. And so the two of us, it's an indication of transition. It was his first time to attend that parade. I've been there 10 times, but it was really fun to show the transition, and so we're having a big time introducing each other to new constituents.
Absolutely, and I'm sure one of the things that makes it nice is that basically it's all Republicans as far as the changing of the districts, so that it's people working together here.
We're working together, and I tell people that Aiken County is an inland Hilton Head, so I feel right at home, very positive people and a high education level, people very concerned about the future of our country, and I share their concern.
Absolutely, and you've already opened an office over there.
Yes, we've got an office in Aiken. I'm very grateful at the agricultural complex. We've got a very fine young fellow, Brian Eichley, who is I'll tell you how intelligent he is. He's worked for the past 5 years in Washington with me and Senator Jim DeMint, but he's from Aiken, and he wanted to go home and be home. And so I'm very proud that Brian is representing us and in the transition.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds terrific. Now, let me just ask you a couple of other questions here. Well, first off, I need to ask, were you wearing an Irish outfit in the parade?
Congressman Scott and I color coordinated before we got there. and so we had on our green shirts and khaki pants. We were a matching pair, so it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. I would like to have a picture of that now.
Hey, I'm going to get it to you. It was an extraordinary visual. We had friends of ours actually in the car. It was somewhat crowded, but it was fun. And the people at Hilton Head, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, many of them were very festive, and so they let me know what they think. And the great news for both Congressman Scott and myself, about 99% of the comments were very positive, favorable. We did find out there was a 1% liberal faction on the island.
Okay. So, what? And did they do something in the parade that we can talk about on the air?
Well, actually, they were pretty civil. But, I did know that they were not nearly as enthusiastic as the balance of the population.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Hey, Leon Panetta over there in Afghanistan and that potential attack on him with the car and the explosion and everything. What do you think about, the direction that we're looking at with the military and everything? Do you think something like that might change his mind at all?
Well, actually, I believe for him, it would steal his resolve. And I was there 3 weeks ago in the region. And I actually, amazingly enough, Anne, I was in the Kyrgyz Republic, Kyrgyzstan, with the House Democracy Partnership. And in Central Asia, for the first time in 3,000 to 5,000 years of recorded history, Kyrgyzstan, a former Soviet republic, had a free election and then transitioned to a new president. That's never occurred. And so we saw progress. And then I was able also to go to Pakistan, and we were able to meet with the prime minister, the chairman, which is the president of the Pakistani Senate. We met with the interior minister, and we had a very positive meeting. But what we're into is a long-time conflict of people who have every determination, and if they carry signs that say death to America, death to Israel, that's what they mean, and we have to take it seriously.
So what should we do?
What we should do is what we are doing and what the South China Army National Guard has done in Afghanistan, and that is train the Afghan security forces, the army and the police, to protect their own people, to make sure that in the future there are no terrorist safe havens which could be used, as occurred on 9/11, to attack the United States. And so it's a transition of where we are turning over the capabilities and training the people of Afghanistan to defend themselves. And this would be that in turn we would reduce the level of American forces. And step by step, and I've been there 11 times, and I know from talking to my, I served in the Army National Guard, and so I know that my colleagues were very successful in training.
Well, having been there 11 times, have you seen a change over that 11 times, Joe?
Oh, Anne, it's night and day. When I first arrived, and it was actually 2002, it was shocking to me. They'd had a 30-year civil war. We in the South understand the consequence of a 4-year civil war.
Yeah.
A 30-year civil war with Soviet occupation, there was hardly a building standing. There were no paved roads at all in the country. The roads were actually rubble up to the side of the road, and it was only one lane. When I go back, and I've gone back again 11 times, I've been around the country, there are thousands of miles now of roads. There are sidewalks, there are shops open, there are schools open. To see little children, see little girls going to school with white scarves, to see little fellows going to school wearing baseball caps, which I know are not indigenous to Afghanistan. And so it's a step-by-step progress, but they've come light years, and an indication of success. Just last year, I visited with President Karzai, and he was explaining how proud he was that 6 million people in his country have cell phones, because under the Taliban, nobody had a cell phone.
Sure.
And then it was really, one of his ministers said, actually, Mr. President, 7 million. Another said, no, it's 8 million. And then the president saw the whole thing. He said to the members of Congress that 85% of the people of Afghanistan now have access to a cell phone. This means they can communicate. This means they can learn what's going on. And so when the propaganda is being spread around the country, the people can refute the propaganda. So, and satellite dishes, these were illegal under the Taliban. But now people do have access, and increasingly in a country that had virtually no electricity, now there's electricity. There is a civil society, but we began at a very primitive stage, one of the most primitive countries on earth. And so, but progress truly has been made, and schools opened. It's really very positive.
Well, then we have the things like that are happening over there, the Quran, the burning of the Quran, you see all the hate signs and Get Out America and this type of thing. or should we stay there? Do we need to stay there?
Well, the key thing, again, we are transitioning to their forces, and I've seen the other side, and that is I've been in rural areas around Abbottabad, around Asadabad, Jalalabad, and it's really encouraging as you go around, you see signs, which has the clasped handshakes with an American flag and an Afghani flag of a USAID project, maybe a school, which by our standards would be very rudimentary, but it's a school, or it could be a well, a water project, which they help build, and then we are there to back it up. But it's giving them the opportunity. We're truly teaching them. The tradition is to teach people how to fish, not to make them dependent.
Sure.
But those signs are rusty, which means the signs have been up. And so around the country, we know, something I found out when traveling with Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee to Afghanistan, something she said is true, and that is that good news has no feet and bad news has wings. So when we hear bad news, that is newsworthy, but it's an aberration. Whether one of our troops does wrong, I will tell you that there's been a million acts of kindness by the South China Army National Guard in Afghanistan alone, and not everybody, but I believe a significant majority do appreciate the American forces because they know that they're there to try to help them develop a modern, stable society.
Well, now let's switch over to Syria, though. That sure, certainly looks like a whole different ball of wax there.
And really, the Assad regime is a brutal dictatorship. I'm very proud that Israel successfully eliminated their nuclear capability. Can you imagine, Anne, if Bashar Assad had nuclear capability? But if you remember a couple of years ago, very mysteriously, people are still looking into what happened. But this facility, which was being built by North Korea, was developing a nuclear capability for the Syrian dictatorship, and suddenly one day it just was completely vaporized. And thank goodness that Israel acted when it did to stop this dictatorship from having a nuclear capability.
But what do you think about President Obama saying that they should wait if they were going to attack Syria until after the elections?
Well, I think that's really sad that the president is playing politics with the security of Israel. We know that the people of Israel, that Ahmadinejad has promised to vaporize the entire country and to eliminate the people of Jewish faith across the world. And so to me, and I have faith in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm very grateful I had the opportunity to meet with him in Jerusalem. And he is a very stable person. He's a person the American people and the Israeli people can trust. And I'm confident that whatever action is taken, it will be taken by a very far-sighted individual. And last Monday, Constance Duncan and myself were at the, along with Constance Paul Brown from across the river, to be at the dinner with Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking. And as he spoke, I just felt like we were in the presence of someone who truly is concerned about the security of Israel and the security of the United States.
Well, you know, Joe, you have had such an opportunity to travel over there to see it firsthand and, of course, to be in Israel and talk to the leaders of our world. It has been an amazing experience for me, for you, and why do you want to continue this? God, don't you want to rest?
Well, actually, I really enjoy serving. I'm on the way, as we are speaking, to visit with troops at Fort Jackson. The district I represent includes Fort Jackson. The new district I represent will be very close by to Fort Gordon. So I'm looking forward to going with Congressman Paul Brown and visiting Fort Gordon. I'm really energized, and by the people I represent. I was honored to be at the Chapin Rotary Club this morning. I'll be touring the Michelin tire plant later today. And the Michelin tire plant produces the earth-moving tires 12 feet high. They cost $60,000 each. which are used to recover the oil sands. That's why the president is wrong in trying to stop the Keystone Pipeline. That's 500 jobs in Lexington. It's also 260 jobs. MTU Diesel builds the diesel engines to be used in Alberta, Canada. And so that's 260 jobs in Aiken. And sadly, the president, it's just not connected to the real world that we live in. And of course, and he promised to skyrocket energy costs because he really comes from an environment where they believe that driving a car is recreation. The people who live in high rises of San Francisco, Boston, sure. New York, Chicago cannot relate to the people who I represent, who indeed gas prices are as they rise are a problem.
Absolutely. You know, yesterday, Joe, I went and broadcasted live from the South Carolina State Museum. And
Now, you should have told me I would have come by.
I probably should have, but we had an absolute great time. And you know the thing that impresses me and makes me so proud is that the fact of all the great things the people of South Carolina, you know, sometimes we're considered a little backward out there, but when you see what we have done, it is amazing. And I think that story needs to be told more, just like the guy that's now the head of NASA is from Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, hey, exactly, Colonel Charles Bolden.
Yes.
And favorite son of Columbia. His wife was, his mother was a very prominent teacher of our community. So I'm very grateful. And while you're there, just to see the history of South Carolina, today, to know that BMWs are produced. And as I travel around the world to see X5s, X6s, this is wonderful because they're all made in South Carolina. And then, to have Fujifilm jobs that are created. And then the good news is, despite the president's efforts to close Boeing, the 787s and are coming to production in North Charleston. And the NLRB, I'm very proud that our state fought back. Currently 2,000 jobs have been created. Ultimately, in that region, 8,000 jobs, and it extends. I was Monday at Zeus Company in Aiken, and they produced the tubing for the 787 jetliners, and Prysmian of Lexington produces the cable for the 787 jetliners, and the president tried to stop that. He is so beholden to the unions, he did not want South Carolina to get the jobs.
Absolutely. But just to finish up here, because I know you've got a meeting to go to, Joe, is everything bright and rosy?
No. I'm so concerned for our country, and I want to thank Congressman Duncan. He reminds us that the Senate has not, he has a button, and when you see him, he has a button with the number of days where the Senate has not passed a budget. Congress is dysfunctional. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm a former member of the state Senate, so I just can't imagine that the U.S. Senate with liberal control, that they have not passed a budget. The debt, Ann, that is being placed on the young people of our country, the president had promised that he would reduce the debt, but as we now know, his budgets have reduced almost $5 trillion in debt, and this is going to be, the young people of our country are at risk. The interest payments are going to eat up the entire federal budget and put our country at risk. For the senior citizens, they need to know that the president's borrowing and spending is putting them at risk because the value of the dollar is at risk, and as they receive a Social Security check, it could be cut in half in terms of value.
Sure. So these are things, and, of course, the price of gas and everything. I just hope and pray that we can bring this back around to something that looks brighter. I mean, we've got the stock market up. We've got banks passing stress tests. We've got unemployment down as far as the number of people, but there's still a lot of problems out there.
Well, sadly, the unemployment numbers, Ann, I think have been contrived. As I get around, I see high unemployment. And obviously, South Carolina is over 9%. And then the president's policies, when he said that we should spend the stimulus, he said that unemployment would not exceed 8%. But we've had 37 months of unemployment over 8%. His policies have failed. They've put American families at risk. I have some communities, Ann, that actually have 20% unemployment.
Yeah, there does seem to be so many pockets. So So, Congressman Joe Wilson, we wish you all the best in your reelection, and I know we'll be talking to you more and we'll see you more. Thanks so much for calling us today, Congressman Joe Wilson. Any last comments you'd like to make?
Well, Ann, again, I'm just grateful to be serving, and I have faith in the American voters. I don't have faith in the politicians. I have faith in the American voters in November that there will be a positive change, and so I'm honored to be serving, and I just appreciate your efforts, and I know you have listeners in Aiken County, and I'm excited that with the court decision, I will be representing all of Aiken County.
All right. Thank you so much, Congressman Joe Wilson.
Hey, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.